What's going on, everybody? I hope you're having a great day, and I hope you enjoy this short video about my understanding of Jesus and how that's changed over the years and how deeply rich my belief is in what the story of Jesus is about at this point in my life. A little bit of backstory. I was raised Christian, raised in a Christian home, in a Christian church, on a Christian street, in a Christian Mobile, Alabama, in a Christian nation. Christian. And from the very beginning of my life, Christianity was taught to me as the truth of our existence. What are we doing here? Where the hell are we? And what is this all about? Here's the answer. God. God is something out there that is an intelligent being that created this whole thing, and we have this book that explains the matter of fact, reality of our existence and the universe, and luckily we have a messenger named Jesus who came to testify to this reality that there is a God and his name is Yahweh or God or whatever the name that Jesus would point to God and say his name is. It's just God in the Christian church. But thankfully we have Jesus, and Jesus was like, hey, yo, I'm sent by the one up in heaven, and I'm also God too, and I am going to do some cool shit around here and walk on water and turn water into wine and heal people and stuff like that. And when I die, I will come back from the dead to prove to you that I am God, essentially, that I'm the Son of God. And then the story says he does. And so there's the proof, right? That's about it. That's all, folks. So, by the way, this is the truth. This is the truth. And we know this because the Bible tells us he rose from the dead. He defied physics. And this gives credence to all of the things that he said and those things that people said about him. Therefore, God is not only real, but the God of the Bible is the only God that's real, because Jesus also says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It's pretty exclusive. So on and so forth. This is it, accept or deny. If you believe this, then you'll spend eternity in heaven. Big reward. And if you do not believe this, if you don't think this happened, if you don't believe this happened, then you won't spend eternity in heaven.
You'll go to hell.
And we don't want to talk about it that much, but hell is a pretty shitty place. You don't want to be there. There is no niceties and no comfort. It is hell, fire, brimstone, ash, being eaten by demons, poked with sharp objects, and eaten from the feet by earthworms. I mean, it's like a horrible, claustrophobic, dark, smoky, burning, hot, terrifying existence forever. But Jesus loves you. So don't think about that. Think about the fact that you would be going there. You would be going there if Jesus didn't die on the cross for you. So thankful he did, and so we should worship him. Sounds about right. I mean, it's kind of hard to fight your way out of that spider web pitch as a youngin'. And the reason I wanted to make this video is not because I have stopped believing in that God necessarily. As you'll see in a few minutes, it's a little bit different. It's more nuanced than that. But because I have, in fact, found... the reason I wanted to make this video is not to say that's a load of bullshit and I don't believe it, but to give my updated, at 25 years old, belief of what I was taught, what I got distance from in order to gain perspective on the whole story of Jesus, and now how I've readopted the story of Jesus as true, but true in a different way. So mainly, that belief structure that I just explained is very answer, right? It's like extremely the answer to life. It's like the capital T truth. You want to know what's going on, kid? Here's what's going on. Boom. A Bible. That is the truth. And there's not a lot of, it's very rigid. It's very, very like, this is what the Bible says. That's what we go by. Stiff, strict, Your grandfather's grandfather, that's what the truth is, that's what it said, although there has been lots of translations and changes and books that aren't in the Bible and selected, and there is a very real mysterious quality to what should and shouldn't be in the Bible. It's still treated as the defendable word of the one true God, and if obviously you would want to say that, because if it is, then damn, you know, you do not want to be caught red-handed saying what God said is bullshit, because, you know, reference back to hell. But that religion, that frame of reference, is pretty shallow in my mind. It's more like, you got the answer, do you believe it, yes or no? And if you do, good. If you don't, then blasphemy. Okay, so I'm watching this video back doing editing, and I wanted to make one quick additional comment here. Although I'm saying that it was a very belief centered religion, which it was, I had a deep relationship with God. I had a very deep relationship with God. I had a very intimate, close feeling of companionship and closeness with my idea of God. And I prayed regularly, and I even preached many times at church, and was very in tune and moved with what I felt was the Holy Spirit, and was my relationship with God was like that of a dad and a son. It felt very, I wanted to be approved of by God. I wanted to make God happy because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. So I think it's an important detail in my upbringing with Christianity, and as I will continue to explain our rediscovering of a deeper Christianity, I left the church still having had a very deep relationship with a God, with maybe the God I thought existed, some sort of an imaginary friend, if you might. But again, I had a deep relationship with God. So it wasn't like I just believed, oh, God exists, and that's it. That continued on to saying, oh, and you can have a relationship with God, and here's how you do it. Prayer and quiet time and devotional and community and that kind of thing. So let's hop back into it. The belief structure that I was handed fell apart for me when I was about 18, 19, and 20. As I started to see via critical thinking, I read a book called I think it was Your Guide to Critical Thinking, and it was a Greater Courses lesson. It was an audio book on Audible. And it taught me a lot about logic. Examples being like, man, look at this world out here. It's so beautiful. And I don't know how I don't know how this could have just came about. I don't know what made this, so there must be a God. Growing up, that's like, yeah, that's really, really good. You know, you see a creation, and you don't know, you can't explain it, so there must be a God, and there must be a creator. And learning with critical thinking, I learned that, well, that's an argument from ignorance. It's saying that I don't know, therefore I do know, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So that, like, pulled out one of the reasons I believe in God. I started to find out that my health and my life was dictated by rules that were extremely generic and unforgiving and maybe a little bit, like, not reasonable, you know? Like, I was 18 years old when I had a friend of mine who was gay, and he was really, really, really upset and hurt by the way that his family was treating him because of his sexuality. And I remember feeling like, that doesn't feel right, you know, like, he's gay, like, he likes dick, you know, it's not like, it's something you can't change, it's not like a, it's like, like, I don't know, like, that doesn't seem reasonable to be like, you can't be in relationship with the gender of your choice. So that was kind of odd. I felt like at that point, God became more distant. The relationship with God, relationship with other people became more real to me. I also started to think like, well, if I think my God is real and everyone else of every other religion thinks their God is real with the same level of certainty, there's some type of weird, like, trickery going on here. Like, there's some kind of funny, like, we're all looking in a mirror, like, my God is the real God. And someone else saying, no, my God's the real God. And then you go back in history and see all the religions of all the gods, and you go, what God do I believe in if I say I believe in God? You know? So this idea of God began to crumble a little bit, to be not into nothingness, but to be different, much different than the answer of the truth. And it started to glow a little bit more with wonder of, wait a second, maybe God inherently is, even the word God, it's like an answer for the unknowable. Like, maybe God is like looking out into the abyss, like, wow, God, I don't know anything. I don't even know how I got here. So there is some unexplainable quality, and we put God as the shorthand for that statement and then mistaken it for a big white-haired, bearded guy in the sky. Because if everyone else believes in their religion and they have their holy book, then how do I know mine's any different? Well, the holy book says it. Well, so does theirs say it. Okay, this is getting weird. And because this relentless following of the teachings in this book, very specifically for me, sexual purity, despite biological promptings as a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old boy to engage in sex, disregarding sexuality had become almost a liability for me because of the difficulties it had created in my life. And I found that when I stopped disregarding sexuality and inviting my own sexuality as part of who I am, I felt much healthier and much more present in our relationships. And then my gay friend is like, why would I not love you in exchange for some book that I heard a story about a guy somewhere that might have existed or might not, and most of the world thinks he didn't, but there's 3 billion people thinks he did. So this whole question became a little bit foggy. Then on top of that, you can go down a rabbit hole of contradictions and lack of evidence and all this stuff. So anyways, I say all that to say, under the pressure of a critical thinking mind, religion, as it does, begins to show its true colors. Thankfully, that's what this video is about. Under the pressure of analysis, religion couldn't show me the answer to existence, except for circular reasoning of sorts. This is true because the Bible said it's true. Well, that doesn't give me much hope. That just seems like a defense. What is this thing about? I left Christianity. I left it as a whole for a few years and decided that I would be my own guide. And that has been very rewarding, extremely rewarding, because I have individualized myself so much. I've become so healthy, so present, so deep and rich as a human being that is not shamed by parts of my personality, that is very, very open to the experience of other people. And I don't think I have the answer for life. And so I don't lord over people with this truth that I hope to convert them to. I feel really present with a bunch of other people going, hey, we're all on this rock flying through space and no one knows what the fuck is going on. So how about develop a sense of morality personally that's not based on your dad in the sky told you that you need to be good, so be good, like a Santa Claus of sorts. What if morality... And what if the special questions of today's difficulties involving drugs and healthcare and the way we treat people and gender, like what if all these things are really hard to like reference back to this Bible book? Okay, yeah, maybe we need to use our noggin and communication with other people and we can create a beautiful world together and we don't need this religion thing to govern us. Yes. I've been very open-hearted and open-minded to other religions. Buddhism specifically, it's taught me a lot, although I know it may not technically be a religion, but more just a philosophy or a way of life. The openness that I've had towards other religions as I've looked into them, they did the right thing for me. This is what I'm trying to say. As I approached other religions, they did the right thing for me. They inspired me to look within and look out in the world with a sense of meaning and purpose, a deeper meaning, love, or... lack of suffering or mindfulness and presence, and it gave me something on my tool belt to begin to interpret life through, and it made life beauty. It wasn't a yoke of my grandfather's 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 belief systems that it's true and you need to carry and don't you disrespect the Lord. It wasn't this very patriarchal, authoritarian truth system, but more of a thing to taste a little bit of and to derive inspiration from. And so only has it been recently that I have been able to see that, in fact, Christianity is the same thing. It's the same exact thing. It is a story about someone named Jesus who died, which, funny enough, I thought about this earlier. Jesus says he died for us, but they were sacrificing animals in exchange for people's sins back in the day. And Jesus died as the final sacrifice so they wouldn't have to kill any more animals. So I was eating a quesadilla for lunch of the day at Moe's thinking, wait a second, did Jesus die for the animals? Did he die for us or did he die for the animals? You know, because those animals were the ones getting killed, and he was like, hey, no more. Kill me, man. I'll take it. But anyways, the story goes, we all fuck up. We all mess up and hurt each other and hurt the world, Earth, and hurt the environment. You know, we hurt things. We have a shadow quality to our existence, and we cause difficulty. And instead of killing more animals every time you mistake, maybe I will come and live a perfect life, and without ever sinning, I will die a sinner's death. I'll be crucified, an excruciating way to die. And even while dying, I will say to the people I came to forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know that I'm really here to point you to a beautiful existence and to let you know that it's okay and that you don't have to be harsh and follow each other's rules and judge one another, and he who has no sin cast the first stone. Like, chill, bro. You're good. That story is magnificent, and it touched something inside of me when I reapproached it after years of not only a whole childhood and a young adulthood being raised in it, but taking time away from it and then being able to reapproach it with new eyes. I saw what was really going on here. I got the benefit of the religion for the first time instead of inheriting the obligation element to following this thing and upholding this truth of our people. I saw that this amazing story of Jesus, whether it happened or not, is completely irrelevant. Like, whether this happened or not is only a necessary question when you're leaning on fear. Like, oh, what's going to happen at the end of the world, and is it true or not? Like, okay, you can kick that bucket around for a while, or you can realize that no one knows. Okay, so now what? Well, now we live a beautiful life, and where can we be inspired for beautiful lives? Well, philosophies and even religions have beautiful things when they're stripped away from the inherent dogmatic, you know, authoritarian type feeling of it, the obligation and the burden of religion. What is in there? It, like inspiration. And what do you find in the story of Jesus? An inspiration of love. If you take all the rules out and all the things that people added in there as it went on and all the different things, and realize that the story could potentially, if not the truth, it might just be a myth. It might just be a beautiful story. It's meant to do what? Think about that. If it's not meant to answer your existential dread and to be the answer, something has to be true. Okay, that's not smart. That's just like, okay, sure, something has to be true, but that doesn't mean that you have any idea of what's true. We don't. That's the nature of our existence, is a ignorance to knowing what is really going on. So, there's no need barking up that tree. If it's not meant to answer your questions about existentially, what are we doing and what's this all about, what is it? What else could it be? What else could it be? Maybe it's a story that is not meant to tell you how to be or risk banishment. Maybe it's a story, story, a passed down oral tradition of a story of this person named Jesus. Right? Maybe the story of Jesus is this only way to truly describe love. Maybe not the only way, but maybe the story of Jesus is a fantastic way. Maybe the story of Jesus is like if you said, like any myth is a story that describes a human emotion of sorts, a human experience, an element to the human experience. Hey, Braxton, how would you describe jealousy, right? Define jealousy. I would say, okay, so there's these people, and then imagine you've got this, and then imagine this person walks by, and they say this, and then you know this person, you fall in love, and then they have the, you would explain it in this page-turning, even chapter, leather-bound book, where you're like, this is jealousy. Maybe the story of Jesus is titled Love, a myth about love. And when I say myth, I know people think, oh, well, this guy's saying it's not true. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying it's true, and if capital T, this is what our existence is, you know, answered by. Hell, who knows that? What I'm saying is that maybe by taking it literally and using as your, whew, okay, now we know what's going on, we just got to follow this book of rules. Maybe you're cutting yourself short of truly experiencing the profound heart-opening change that happens when you read the story of Jesus and you're inspired by it. You take a hit of it. Wow. Love. Wow, what a beautiful story. A beautiful story. Yeah. I could love like that. I could love my brother like that. I could love my sister like that. Love. L-O-V-E. Maybe reading it with the eyes of someone that's looking for deep inspiration, heart-opening inspiration, you'll read a totally different story altogether. So, my idea of Jesus has changed tremendously over the years from a answer to our existence and that's it. Whew, at least we know where we're going when we die and we've got this book of rules to an inspiration. Less about whether this is real or not and more a story of someone who the main character is meant to be the embodiment, the personification of love, compassion, understanding, and empathy. And if I read the story and see what the story tells me Jesus did, I can find something in my heart that relates to that, the part of me that is like Jesus. I can feel the part of me that's like Jesus turn on, and my heart glows with compassion. And that is the point of the story. Hope you've enjoyed this video. This was a very personal video, personal to my experience in life, being raised in a certain religion and finding distance and then regaining a helpful perspective about what it's all about. I'd love to hear your questions. I'd love to hear your comments about this philosophy below. Thanks so much for watching.